to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Mike's live.
All right. Good morning, Chicago. Today we're going to tell you how to build a boat and how to bake up sandbags. All right. I am Ron Calgo. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 847-475-1590. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we'll have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Calgill and your phone calls. In the second hour, we'll have the Clutter Clarity segment, of course, with Robbie Earhart, and take your phone calls. In the third hour, we'll be taking your phone calls. So you can give us a call, 847-475-1590. And
we
Mighty House
calls all day.
Say that again, sir?
You could take their phone calls all day.
All day.
That's what drives the boat.
That's right. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at
MrFloor.com.
Morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
Talk into the mic.
I'm talking into
the mic. There you go.
Oh, much better.
Good morning.
Yeah.
So, good morning. Good morning.
Ben and I came in on the Robbie schedule today.
Ben, oh, you just walked in.
Yes.
What happened?
There was a power outage in Arlington Heights.
Oh.
So Ben's alarm didn't go off.
Oh, no.
And
not the alarm clock excuse
again. Yeah, that's what he
get
said.
Get one with a battery backup.
Yeah, that's what you even say it.
Your phone.
It was the AM.
I know. It was your phone, I mean.
Yeah, it's your phone.
Wow.
Oh.
He said it wrong. AM, PM, he said. So now we're still setting mic levels and stuff like that. And, of course, Trixie moved to a new house, so I had to find her new house today. She moved into a new place. So then,
did this happen?
This week, I guess.
Did you know about this?
She said she moved.
Did she, like tell you in advance, or
yeah.
She just like
she said, I'm moving, you're gonna have to pick me up at a new location this
that
morning.
Was it?
Yeah, well, she gave me the address,
but did you know before
that helps?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter
because what's
GPS,
going on, Trixie?
The GPS took me to the wrong place.
Oh, no.
Did you put it north instead of south or vice versa?
No, it's a new subdivision, so Google doesn't really know exactly where all the houses are.
Yeah.
So, and then none of the houses are marked correctly with address signs, so you're driving in and out of all these little cul-de-sacs looking for the right address. And
why don't you tell us that you are moving?
Who cares? She moved.
Well, it's a big thing.
Oh, because you wanted to go help pack. That's what it was.
Just saying, if she's already organized in her new house and didn't even invite me over.
Maybe there's a reason she didn't invite you over. That's it right there.
I don't even know what that reason could be.
Oh, no?
No.
So.
Little wet out.
Just a tad bit. Thought that the water levels were going to go down in the rivers around the Chicagoland area, and then, of course, we started getting more rain. So now those rivers are on their way back up. People that are should we describe how to make a proper sandbag wall, Rich? Is that a good topic?
You can go there. I mean, I've never had the chance to do it. Thank goodness.
Go ahead.
Yes. Restore Elgin is flooded.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Elgin?
Yes.
They're like way...
If Restore Elgin is flooded... Okay, now you're putting it in perspective, because I used to go there all the time, and I trained there. So on north, I'm thinking they're kind of high and dry where they're at.
That's
well,
what I was thought,
I shouldn't say flooded. There's water. Maybe there's...
Yeah, but...
I don't know. She posted pictures, and unfortunately, they're using everything that they can to keep the water back.
Really?
So they are
on the Facebook?
Yeah. They're using bags of lawn fertilizer, and they're taking the worst condition couches that they have and putting the couch cushions down.
Oh, nice.
To soak up as much as they can?
Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, I don't remember the exact wording, if she said it was a flood or, you know, hold the water back or what it was, if it was like, I don't know. I'm assuming it was a flood. But, yeah. So Restore Elgin.
I got it here.
So, you know what? Let's plug the Restore because they're going to need a little bit of help.
Uh-huh.
So Restore is a retail outlet for the Habitat for Humanity. So people...
Okay,
what?
Well, I'm looking into pictures. They got a couple inches of water on the floor, but there's nobody in there getting this stuff off the floor.
Well, it's only a picture.
Oh,
so anyway, as I was saying, we're on the radio. Habitat for Humanity builds homes. We know this. But they have a Restore, and what happens, all the money that is made at the Restore goes to help build homes in that area. So there is a Restore in Elgin. There's a Restore in Chicago. They're all over the country. So what they're going to need now in Elgin is more stuff to sell, because a lot of it is being ruined by the floods. So if you're a contractor and you're remodeling a home and maybe you're taking out some kitchen cabinets that are still in good shape, you can bring them there. If you have windows that you're taking out, if you are moving, Trixie, and you have boxes of items that you don't know what to do with, they'll take just about everything but clothing. They do pickups. They would like to see photos of the items beforehand, because some things I have found just don't sell. Office furniture. I had an office liquidation sale, and they couldn't take anything because they had so much and it just wasn't moving. So give them a call beforehand, but they do take paint. You know, they will take...
Full gallons of paint.
Full gallons of paint, right. Do they take like 3/4 full anymore?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe, but...
Yeah, it depends, you know. It depends what their inventory is.
Could mix
is.
Them all together and have a sale on gray paint.
Yes.
You know, and now again that the Restore Elgin could probably use your help. So what are you finding out, Rich?
Nothing
new. It's all the same
nothing
stuff.
Nothing new.
But was it a flood or did it say?
No, I can't tell. It just, there's a little bit of water on the floor, but I don't know if it's from a roof leak or if it's coming from the river.
Right.
Well, that that area, isn't that like State Street or something? That's pretty high.
I'm not sure where their water's coming from.
Unless they're in like a gully area that's maybe filling up, and you know,
drainage. Right.
So, anyway, proper sandbagging.
Please tell us.
You call the village; they will bring you sand and bags, and they'll just dump it in your driveway, or out in the street in the parkway right there, so you can start bagging stuff. Or you can, some villages are actually bringing you the sandbags. You can call your local village and, you know, you can go help too. If you're high and dry and you want to help out, contact your local village and you can go out and help fill sandbags. I heard one town, as young as 13, as long as you're with a parent, or over 16, and they'll put you to work, and you can help out people in get sandbags to the areas that need it. So if you buy a roll of 10 mil Visqueen plastic, you can the clear or the black, it doesn't matter. You roll that out first, spread it out on the ground, start your sandbags on the you roll around the perimeter of your house. Start the sandbags on the inside edge of that plastic, and then you stack your wall up, and then you bring that plastic up and over the sandbag wall, and then you put another row of sandbags on top of that to hold the plastic.
I've never seen that with plastic.
Yeah, that's the proper way the most efficient way to do it. Now, sandbags themselves will work, but they obviously leak between the sandbags. So if you want to try and eliminate that, the roll of plastic comes every 100 feet, so you can get a 100-foot roll by 10 feet wide. And then you can just spread it all out, go around, stack up your whole thing, and then you lift up that plastic over your sandbag wall and then put another row of sandbags on. 60. So now you only have one area where that can leak, and that's underneath through the ground where it might start to seep up, or wherever your seam is where that after 100 feet, you need to start a new 100-foot piece of plastic. So that's the ideal way to try and barricade your house off from the water.
So I'm just looking at your radar and
yeah,
it's wet up there, huh?
Yes, it is. Flood stage is long past. We're way past flood stage in a lot of areas around the Chicagoland area. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back with more. Ark Building is next on
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm gonna find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590 and get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. There you go. All right. So, how do we build a boat, Rich?
First, you go to a box store, and go to the 2x4 or 2x6 rack,
right,
and the ones that are really dry, and you can buy a keel. You know, they got a natural curve to them already.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's easier to buy keels and ribs at a box store than it is to buy
a straight lumber.
2x4 is a straight one. So then you set your keel and then you make templates and you get some cedar and you just make strips and you make a canoe.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I always wanted to make a cedar strip canoe.
Yeah, that'd be
just fun. Takes time and garage space.
Yes. Lots of time.
Yeah. But they're very cool looking when they're done. So, yeah. Robbie, I have a quick story for you.
Okay.
So, obviously, I flew in last week. We did the show in the studio.
And boy, and my arms are tired.
Thank you. Because if I would have said it, he would have been mad at me.
Well, this one here, I got to be careful because, anyway. So, we go to the airport. We're leaving. We're standing outside. And there was probably half a dozen dogs on our flight.
Really?
Yes, because everybody's dog is a service dog now.
Yeah.
So, come on. You know, yes, you can go online and for a couple of bucks, your dog is a service dog. And they can't ask questions like why you need the dog. There's no physical for the dog. This one woman that we know, sure, that we met, she's got a three-legged dog that's blind, but that's her service dog.
Oh, jeez.
So here's where it gets funny. So now you got half a dozen dogs on the flight. No, you got half a dozen dogs on the flight. So this poor woman getting on the plane. Her eyes, she's already freaking out. Her allergies.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
So now you're in an enclosed space with half a dozen dogs and cats, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's desperately seeking Benadryl or whatever. So I'm like, well, that's bad enough. So flight takes off.
Can I interrupt you a second?
They started handing out peanuts.
No!
So I was really laughing. I'm like,
they're not allowed to hand out peanuts anymore.
No, they can, obviously. So anyway, so I got a plane with half a dozen dogs, and they hand out peanuts. And I'm like, yeah, this is the whole allergy thing. But that's kind of that's what I thought was funny. None of that bothers me. I mean, I love dogs. Don't get me wrong. And I have no problem with service dogs. But here we go again with abusive, you know, they make a rule. And now everybody wants their dogs to fly for free. So now they're all service dogs. And it's like, what a joke. Well, and what it's going to do is ruin it for the people that actually have service dogs.
Yep.
Exactly. And a service dog can be for, like, being afraid of flying. So you could bring your dog with you because you're afraid of flying.
Well,
so,
no, like, they don't even ask.
Right, yeah. But I'm just saying that's, you know, what it is. You know, a guide dog necessarily.
Right.
It's a service dog because of anxieties and fears.
Right. And there is a real need for them, but... people are abusing it, and there's a good example.
Without a doubt, now it's hilarious.
Yeah, I
mean, some of these dogs you see are like, you know, nice looking dog,
But they're
probably
wild.
Probably not a service dog.
Yeah, I want to bring my dog because it's, you know, better than paying all the to leave them at home.
Right.
I am allergic to cats, and that used to freak me out all the time. Like if I'd see somebody bringing a cat on a plane, I'd be like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But and now the peanut thing, I was just on an American flight, and if you read all their information in the card, the safety card, it says we cannot tell people not to bring peanuts on a plane. It says, you know, because my niece has severe peanut allergies, and the last time she flew, they used to say call the airport ahead of time, and they will make an announcement on the plane. So we would do that. We'd call, and they would never make the announcement.
Nice.
And it's like, you know, that was their rule. You tell us, we'll make an announcement. And it would just say, you know, obviously we can't tell people what you can and can't do. But we say, you know, someone with a severe peanut allergy, please, if you have peanuts, please refrain from opening them on the plane or eating them on the plane.
Yep.
And that was their own rule. And they never did it.
Well, I mean, I fly a lot and I honestly cannot remember the last time you got peanuts on a plane.
Yeah.
And
right.
So
exactly.
I was just more laughing because, you know, here you are with this. And I was sitting near the front of the plane, and you know, this poor woman's coming in begging for Benadryl because of all the dogs.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they hand out peanuts, and I was like laughing. Like, this is like flight from hell for somebody back there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Before we finish, I want to say 847-475-1590 because today we can talk about flooding or allergies or anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, boat building.
Yeah.
So,
roof leaks,
foundation leaks, pump failures.
It's been the calls are just insane these past couple weeks with all this rain. The past 10 days have been crazy with people calling. And if you're calling right now because you're needing some work done, I mean, even the insurance people, the flood people, everybody's backed up with work right now. So a lot of people are just going to have to do it themselves or try to get friends to help them.
What kind of work are they?
It's
demolition. You're going to have to strip out stuff and get it dried out, start drying it out once the water recedes.
Yep. Sump pumps, plumbers, everybody's, you know, running 5 to 7 days. Even the service people, emergency service people are running, you know, 5 to 7 days, 7 to 10 days out. So you really have to be patient when you're trying to track somebody down. And there are some that maybe get there a little bit quicker, but, you know, the other thing is it's not going to be cheap. Save your receipts, save your, you know, all that kind of stuff. Take pictures of the damage ahead of time. And we also had one electric service got ripped off a house this week. So that was
nice.
Yeah, that was walking in.
So you must have had storms then, not just rain.
Yeah, no, there was, what was that, Wednesday night? Yeah, Wednesday night, the winds were whipping around pretty good and took down some trees and took out some electric services. So, you know, we were, you know, running around trying to put up a new 400-amp service right away. that was fun.
Always fun.
Yeah, so I guess just be patient, do the best you can, and, you know, don't expect people to be able to jump and get out there right away, but it's tough. ComEd's backed up with a bunch of stuff. So like we said, there's power outages in Arlington Heights right now and other parts in the northwest suburbs. Yeah. And this last batch of rain that's moving through the Chicagoland area is dumping some pretty good rain. So it's amazing.
Rich, was it a video that you saw of Restore or just a photo?
The video.
Okay, because
but it was just like standing in one place video. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I didn't see the video before. I just saw a photo, and it says stopping the floodwaters.
Yeah.
So it's a disaster in there.
Okay.
So help out.
Are we ready to take?
You're done at your house.
Are we?
Yeah.
Are we ready to take this call, Trixie? Yeah, we're good. Okay, let's go to Will. Hey, Will, how's your boat?
Oh, yeah, I got a canoe, but that's okay.
Good.
We didn't have much up in Skokie other than just, you know, a little teeny bit of seepage. But the thing I wanted to get across to people, and we were exchanging emails this week about this, there's a lot of companies out there that claim to be water remediation,
yes,
but they're not.
Right.
And the trick is for basements, for flooded basements, to get it dry quickly. If it you get it dry within the first 24 hours, you're usually pretty you minimize damage and stuff like that, especially the M word.
Right.
Know?
Right.
But the trick is that you have these guys that come in and they'll bring in fans. You don't want fans. You want dehumidifiers. Maybe a little bit of fan to move in the air, but primarily you want to dehumidify.
Right.
The best dehumidifier you have is your air conditioner. Crank it down to about 70, you know, and the newer ones that you actually have a humidity setting where it'll run a low level just to, you know, dehumidify.
Correct.
Don't put a carpet in a basement. That's the stupidest thing. Second only to putting hardwood floors in a basement.
Right. Real hardwood floor.
And the trick is, if you do get mold, you do get stuff, you do not kill the mold. You remove the mold. So anything that is not structural, you rip out.
Hold on.
The stuff that...
Will?
Yep.
Why can't we just kill the mold?
Because you're not going to be able to kill mold on porous materials.
What you're doing, if you eliminate the water, the moisture, and you remove heat or moisture, then the mold can't grow anymore. So
yeah.
you can clean it up.
Dormant.
Yeah, and then it goes back to dormant. It's there. Mold is everywhere all the time. So what you want to do is if you dry it out, then that will stop it from continuing to grow. So there's sealers and stuff that you can put on to try and prevent that growth from coming back too. But the ideal scenario is, you know, if it's really, really bad, you got to remove it. Just like that one picture you posted on Facebook this week. Of that ceiling. Was that a roof leak?
That ceiling was unbelievable.
No, that was a house that was sitting vacant for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, all you have to do is just have high humidity. That's why they call it air conditioning, because it not only cools, it dehumidifies. As you know, Rich, I mean, you know, Florida is Florida.
Right.
If you go away for a week and you don't have any dehumidification in your house in Florida, you come back, you got a whole farm.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The humidity in the air, we got 90% humidity. Whenever it's raining, it is de facto 100% humidity and at the dew point, you know?
Right.
So that's your issue. That's why I tell people you don't want to just control the temperature in your house. You want to control the humidity in your house. Because you control the humidity, you control how you feel, you know?
Right. Exactly.
You have people who crank it up to 60% in the winter, you know? But the thing is, with mold, don't use bleach. If it's just a little teeny bit of surface mold, there's a product that you can use I like called Mold Control.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any extensive amount of mold on a porous surface, rip it out. The other thing I tell people when they finish their basements, the first run of drywall, don't use a paper-back drywall. Use a fiberglass-back drywall or beadboard or something like that. When I was a kid...
All right, we got the break coming up, Will. I appreciate the phone call, bud.
No problem.
All right,
bye-bye.
Talk to you later. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we can talk a little bit more about how to clean your basement out. After this, you're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
Come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And a little more self-promotion coming up. August 5th, we're doing an entire show. Robbie's getting all excited about this, too.
Well, we'll call it
quite honestly,
exciting.
We're not.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a whole show devoted to women in construction and in the construction industry, one area or another. And so Robbie's going to host the show. Why are you looking like that, Robbie? But you're going to have help because Sherry Schultz from Crawford Supply will be in here. Lisa Albrecht from Solar Services will be in here the entire show to help you out. and give you something to, you know, to talk about. And then also, you ready for this lineup? Allison Case from Integro Rehab, Angie Messi from ANG Electric, and then Martha Lorando from Mr. Floor, Mimi Altman from Nari, and then we close the show with Commissioner Freiland, Judy Freiland, and she's the building commissioner for the
city,
of
Chicago.
Yeah. How's that, how's that for a lineup?
Scary.
It sounds like it might be better than our regular show.
Oh no, yeah, that's it's gonna be a rocking show for sure.
So we got 2 weeks till that August. I believe it's August 5th. So
correct.
Yep, you got to send me that lineup. I'll get it in the newsletter so that you know, promote their businesses and stuff are helping us out and having some fun with a women in construction dedicated show. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I know. And so I got that all put together. And I'll be able to send that to you later today. So
awesome.
That'll be out again. That's August 5th. The entire show is women in construction and how they can, how women really, what I want to know is put out there is that there are positions within the construction industry for women. Women can do this. Women are doing this. There needs to be more women in the construction industry. And that's really what the message we want to put out.
And I can tell you, you can make a pretty good living.
Yes.
And I was going to say, but why aren't women doing this? I mean, that's what...
That's
that's the question.
That's your problem.
You say you want more people in, and women can be in, but the question is, why aren't they doing this?
Right, right. And we've got people that are actually in the field with the tools. We've got people that are in management, sales, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of... And then, you know... I think closing the show with Commissioner Freiland is a good way to go because there's the ultimate position in construction, and that's, you know, the building department. She manages all of the building inspectors and all of that, codes and things like that. So it's I think it'll be a good, strong show. And looking forward to Rich and I taking a day off.
Bumpy, the format might be bumpy, but I guarantee it's going to be a good show.
What are you saying?
Well, I mean, it's not... Well, it's not like you do this, like you do the show, but it's not like you run the board and you're used to, you know what I mean? There's going to be some bumps, but like I said, don't worry about it. I think it's gonna be a great show.
Yep.
And I think, you know, you guys will have a lot of fun doing it. And I know I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Thanks for the support, Rich.
No, seriously. It's
seriously.
Just telling you, it's not brain surgery. Nobody's going to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just do what you
got
to do.
Ben's got you covered.
Right.
Ben's like, oh, what? With me? No.
And Ben's the only guy in the building.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but Robbie, on the 5th, you might need to come in a few minutes.
Minutes.
A few minutes earlier.
I was here on time.
Oh, no, I didn't say you weren't. So
as long as Ben's here, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Ben and Trixie. Anyway,
the board up. He'll be
the
good.
Number is 847-475-1590 if you have issues with flooding or mold or anything else. That
sump pumps?
Yeah, sump pumps.
Okay, don't go buy the cheapest sump pump you can find, although probably right now you're buying any sump pump you can find. But you want to get something a little higher quality. Look at the volume of water it moves. And you also have to look at the rating. How far in the ground are you? Because there's a lift. How much it can lift. And that's going to, if you're 10 feet and it's got to pump 10 feet out of the ground to get outside, that's going to slow down the overall gallons per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at that.
I think a lot of people miss that little tidbit.
Right. So it pumps 100 gallons a minute, but that's at zero
horizontal.
Lift. Right. So all of a sudden you have it, it has to go out 10 feet and you're going to run it through 1 inch. That 100 could go down to 25 gallons per minute. So you know, once you have to have the right size pipe, the larger the pipe, the better. We used to run 1.5 inches. We're now running 2-inch PVC just so that we've got the volume and can get it out of there. The other thing is people will tend to put the main pump in and then they put it a battery backup that goes into the same pipe. The problem is if that pipe is clogged or that main pump is already running and your backup is kicking in, you can't push any more water through that 2-inch pipe. It's only going to go through that one. Ideally, you would put your battery backup system in or a backup pump and run that out separately through a separate pipe so that way you've got the ultimate protection there And the other thing is to throw, make sure you use your check valves. That's that thumping sound when the sump pump turns off. That those are pretty important.
That's how you know it's working.
Right. So a lot
can
of,
be annoying, but at least when you hear it, you know it's pumping.
And that's it. You can they do make quiet ones now. You can also mount them at a so when you come up out of the pump, you mount them at a 45-degree angle, and then you can continue up and out. That 45-degree angle will help that thump a little bit if you have a standard check valve. But they also make a quiet check valve now too. That'll close softly, and don't thump. But I like the thump. I want to make sure that I like hearing it. That way I know my sump pump's working, and I don't have to go downstairs. So.
Well, I had one where you're supposed to drill that little relief hole in the pipe below the water line.
Uh huh.
And that way you know that the check valve can close properly, right? What it does is just lets that water back up when the pump turns off.
Right.
And the water runs out and the thing closes.
Right.
I had one. I'm not exactly why it was doing it, but that stupid check valve wouldn't just close. It'd go blah, 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 blah. So it was like, you know, and it would go right through all the pipes.
Vibrate everything.
I managed to fix it with basically, I think it was drilling the holes what fixed it.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, because that's what the problem was. It wasn't allowing to just close. It was the water was being drawn out like a siphon.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was just sucking the air back in.
Right.
That was annoying.
Yes. Yeah, so it's some pumps right now they're becoming scarce. So I know that most places are trying to keep them in stock. So try not to buy the cheapest one. Look at the output of them, and if you can upsize your pipe to 2-inch coming out of the pump, then I would do that at the same time, just so you know you've got enough volume and you're going to be able to move as much water as possible.
Right.
So. Something else that I found interesting this week that hasn't, it's not, well, it's still water related though, Robbie. You're going to find this interesting.
I can't wait to hear what this is.
Someone posted on the Twitter
that
they're at a house trying to run a new water service, but guess what they can't find?
Oh.
The bee box.
So I posted back, I said, just ask Robbie
been
about
there.
trying to find. Have they? That's why I wanted to bring it
up.
They still have not found it.
No. Okay. So this was in January, February. Snow all over the ground. We had an issue. Ron and some guys were at the house, and something snapped off the water inside the house.
Nice spring. That was a sprinkler system in your basement.
Yeah. So what had happened, something up in the kitchen broke. You ran down and turned off the main, but the main thing then broke, and so water's flooding in. So we call the city and tell them to come and turn off the Buffalo box.
Right, because we couldn't find it.
Right, and the city couldn't find it. And we had four men for 3 hours just shuffling water from the burst pipe.
Bailing the basement?
Yes.
Four men for 3 hours times... X amount of money. Imagine, you know, how much that was costing. Yeah. And the city came out. They couldn't. First, the city said, oh, no, I'm sorry. The city came out, couldn't find it. And we said, turn off the street. Ron's like, just turn off the street. It'll take me 1 minute, 1 minute to do it. No, wouldn't turn off the street. And after 3 hours, they finally did. So this week, let me back up a little bit. So they kept coming out. They kept coming out. They're like, we're going to find it. And they sent people out, you know, for the next 2 weeks. We had flags in our yard, and we had people coming out with metal detectors, and we had somebody coming out with something with a hanger attached. And he's like, oh, yeah, you use this little hanger thing.
Vining rod.
Yeah, yes. And we had people, they're coming out, and they're, like, blocking my street off, and they never find things. So they just gave up. They gave up. So this week, there's somebody parked, you know, between my house and my neighbor's house, and he's out measuring stuff. And I go, oh, my gosh, you're looking for the Buffalo box. He goes, no, looking for the gas line. A neighbor is having a fence put in. We need to see where the gas line is. And he's like, but your Buffalo box should be here. I'm like, don't even. He goes, they never found it. I'm like, no, they never found it.
So the gas lines that the gas company uses, they use a yellow plastic underground, and they always have a wire run with that. It usually wraps it or at least runs parallel to it.
Right.
And the whole point of that is for locating, because plastic won't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So they charge that little wire, and then their locator, they can go over the top and it'll tell them where the gas line is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a metallic water line. Why don't they charge it and do it that way? The exact same theory.
I don't know. I don't know why they can't
Me
do that.
Me either.
But they can't find it. And so this was someone else, someone that follows us on Twitter, and said, how can this be? How can they not find it? Well, there are situations out there where they can't. What they were out there doing is trying to find out where the where the tap is. And they couldn't even find out where the tap was at. So, you know, you end up having to start digging.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, the water service is in the front wall of your foundation. Comes through the front wall, yes?
No. Well,
or at least up through the footing?
Right. And this was, it looks like a new construction site where they tore down the house. So that's probably the biggest problem is there's no house on that property right now. They're getting ready to plant a new house, and they can't find out where the existing B-box is to connect to it.
Right.
So they're going to end up cutting the street open and just bringing a whole new line in.
There were so many issues. I mean, we were calling the city. We were calling the alderman. We were calling, you know, everybody we could to get us help. And then we had two different people. They're like, we have the blueprint of your house, and here's where it is.
Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Yeah.
And the other thing is with Robbie's, it comes up through the basement floor. So you don't know which, if it goes out the side or the back. So.
Yeah, because usually you just say it's the straightest line.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with a tip of the week next. You're listening to
Mighty House.
Mighty House
will return.
Yeah, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you go to MightyHouse.net, you can click on the Contact Us page. And what can they do there, Rich?
They can contact us.
I can't even.
Or they could sign up for the newsletter. So I know that's where you're heading. I just thought I'd point out the obvious. I'm good at that. Captain Obvious. But yeah, sign up for the newsletter. We send it out every week. Let you know who's going to be on the show, what we're going to ramble about mostly, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Some good links there for the things we're talking about or offering, like the Tesla X fundraiser, the SBAC fundraiser.
Yep.
Or I should say the ISEA fundraiser offering or raffling off a Tesla X.
Correct.
So it works.
What's the SBAC fundraiser?
They are they're raising.
They need money to fight the city's or the state's silliness.
Yeah.
But what are they? Are they? Is there a raffle or they're just? It's just fundraiser.
It's a general fundraiser.
Okay.
If you go to mightyhouse.net, you can click on the link right there for the SBAC. Or if you get the newsletter, you can click on the link in the newsletter. And go read more about it there and get it rocking. Get it rolling. Are we ready for the tip of the week?
Sure. Okay. Done with my banana.
Peanuts! Peanuts! Double whammy on that one.
That's right. Had to take a little more off.
Yep.
Okay, Sparky.
Well, I might as well do that twice now, too.
Okay, Sparky.
All right.
Got to keep things consistent.
This week I decided to do something that you would think is simple, and I thought I'd just complicate it for you.
Oh, excellent. What are we going to do?
Door hardware.
Oh, my. That's easy.
Seems simple, right? What do you got on your door? Doorknob, couple of hinges, and you're good to go, right?
Yep.
So let's complicate this.
Maybe a lock or two?
So, yeah. Well, for right now, there's a great deal of hardware available for doors. So let's start with doorknobs. Door hardware is typically classified as either interior or exterior, right?
Generally.
There's differences in each that you should know when looking for handle sets. Interior hardware is typically lighter and usually has two classifications. One is passage, one is privacy. Passage is for halls and closets. Privacy is for bedrooms and bathrooms.
That's where you can still stick the pin in and still unlock it.
Yes, that's how you sneak in.
Right.
So then your exterior is usually a keyed entry. So, but now you can usually get them with keypads, Wi-Fi, all kinds of stuff, so you can unlock your house with your phone.
Right.
Which I like. You know, if you got a service guy or something, you got to let them in, but you don't have to give them the code. It's cool. Now, this is where it gets a little goofier. Interior doors typically have a back set of 2 3/8 inches, and exterior doors' back set is 2 3/4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the back set is the little part that comes. You measure the back set from the edge of the door to the center of the hole.
Where you drill it, where the center of the handle
is. So that's your back spacing.
Right.
But that little plunger thing in the side of the door that goes in and out and latches, that's called a back set. So you'll see on the package, it'll say 2 3/8, 2 3/4 inch back set. That means it's adjustable. But if you bought a, you know, you're looking to buy something for an exterior door, make sure it's a minimum 2 3/4 inch back set.
Right.
Now, you can buy specialty locks where I've had 3-foot doors with the doorknob in the middle, so you need an 18-inch back set. Those are very cool, but you have to be able to drill straight.
Yes.
So, and it was more of a 60s thing, I think. You don't see that too often today.
No, thank God. Those are a pain in the butt to put in.
Yes. Well, and I'm only going to tell you, you can get mortise locks.
Right.
Mortise locks is when you drill out the whole side of the door and everything goes in there. You'll find those on real high-end homes. You'll find them on a lot of exterior doors and a lot of stuff in the city. You know, the older homes were all mortise lock sets.
Right.
More money. They were more difficult to do because you had to do the paddle bit, chisel, then cross drill, and you had to do your math right.
Yes.
So always a fun one. So the style of the door handle itself has little to do with the assembly, like Schlage and M-Tech. They just snap on, snap off. So you could have a round knob, you can have a lever handle, and so on. And when you get into commercial, they usually require the lever handle, but they're kind of stylish. So I think you see it in more residential as well now.
Well, and that's also part of universal design, is that to have that lever handle, because then you don't have to worry about somebody with arthritis being able to grab onto the doorknob and turn it.
So. Yeah, see, that's what I wrote right there.
Oh, really?
Universal design, yes, that's what I wrote right there. So you're with me. We are so much alike, it's just scary. So, because I just write these little, you know, like
blips,
outlines to just follow along. But yes, I actually wrote that. All right, let's move to hinges. So doors are typically either hollow core or solid core. Majority of the homes you're going to find are going to have hollow core doors. However, as the cost of the home, size of the door, you know, we use a lot of solid core doors because they got a better feel, not so light and so on.
And so, sound deadening, too. They're better for sound.
Exactly. But a hollow core door, let's say like your 6-panel colonists, those are pretty common. You only need 2 3.5-inch tall hinges on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a solid core, you might have to have 3 3.5-inch hinges. And as the doors get taller and heavier, you need to do more hinges. So like an 8-foot solid core door should have at least 4 4-inch hinges. Yep. And I've done exterior doors that I've had 5-inch ball bearing hinges.
Yeah.
So the weight of the door, the thickness of the door, all these things are in consideration. You don't just buy cheap hinges because you can.
Right. Yeah. Your hinges, the size and the thickness of all that is based on the weight of the door you're hanging.
Exactly. So now here's another thing that most people may not realize, that the hinge location is standardized.
Huh?
Your top hinge is typically 7 inches from the top of the door. Your bottom hinge is always 11 inches from the bottom of the door.
Okay.
And your center hinge is at 36.
Okay.
So they standardized that years ago. So you go around and look, and you should be 7 and 11, 7 and 11, everywhere. And then the other one is usually at 36 or centered.
Unless you go into a basement. You go into a basement where somebody whacked the bottom of the door off and...
Yes. Yes, this would be on your standard 6-8 door.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, if you got to cut the door down, you cut the door down, right?
Yeah. But that's where the doorknob is 24 inches off the floor, too.
Exactly. So then the last thing I want to talk about is doorstops. And the reason why I want to do that, because doorstop, that's just so stupid simple. Why would you even discuss that?
Exactly.
Because doorstops are the biggest reason why most people screw up their doors. So you can have the hinge or the little spring type that go on your baseboard, and when you fling them, they go bong, la, 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 la.
Uh-huh. I used to love
those. Those are cool.
Yep.
Yes, when we were kids, we played with those.
Oh, yep.
You can get the wall bumper, and that one will stop that. But the ones I dislike the most are the hinge type, where they go on the hinge and they have that little angly thing.
Yep.
Those will rip your door off. If you keep opening it too far, it will just keep stressing the hinge, and it'll pull the screws out of the door or out of the jam.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if you have a hollow core door, it'll punch a hole through the door.
Correct. So I don't know if you've seen these, Ron, but there's a new one out there, and it's called a door saver.
Okay.
These go over the hinge pin, or you pull the hinge pin out, so it does go on the same way.
Okay.
But they're a notched cam, so they don't stress anything but the pin.
Huh.
And we use them on everything now. They're like $5 a piece, but they're called door savers for a reason. So now you don't have unsightly ones on your base. Uh-huh. You don't have wall bumpers. You don't have the door holes in your door. You just have this cylinder that goes underneath the hinge pin, and it works well.
Huh.
So if you go to doorsaver.com, you will see them.
Okay, excellent. So
they're very cool. I recommend them for you and your clients.
Excellent. Hey, so did you drive your mom crazy with the door stopper that went boing, 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 boing?
Yes.
Yeah, and sit there.
Not as much as the dogs. Not as much as the dogs. The twisty head.
Yeah, and then your mom would be screaming, stop that! All right.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We'll have more great stuff for you right after this.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.